continued going. And I had a lady request these tapes. And so I ran off 46 of them last night, and I'm going to send her out to her this morning. I really enjoy doing this because it makes you stay in context, and it makes you stop and realize a lot of things about the ministry of the Lord if you just go through point by point and verse by verse. Last Sunday, we went from John, I believe it's John 17, 11, down to John 17 and 18. Now, in verse 17, and I'm going to start there, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. I firmly believe in the Great Commission, and I firmly believe in going out and witnessing and winning the lost, and I have certainly would be amiss if I gave any inference that I was opposed to it. But there is something that I think is missing in many of our churches. He is praying to his Father. Jesus is talking about the first New Testament church that is there with him. They have been saved for some time. They have been scripturally baptized, and he has taught them for more than 3 years. Now he says, Hagiso, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. These men had a lot to learn, and they didn't learn much of it during his earthly ministry, but they learned an awful lot of it after he was resurrected from the dead, and he made that clear when he appeared to the two disciples on the Emmaus Road, and they were all confused, couldn't understand why he had been taken away, and they were disciples, and he opened the scriptures to them and explained it, and later on they said, did not our hearts burn within us as he opened to us the scriptures? In our churches, we make a lot of effort to go out and win lost souls, which is what we should do. And we make an awful lot of effort in all over the world to bring the gospel to everyone and to get them organized after they've been saved and scripturally baptized into churches. Unfortunately, in some of our churches, the whole thing that they go through year after year, month after month, season after season, for the entire lifetime of the church, is to get on fire for Jesus, let's have soul winning classes, and let's get out and let's win more to the Lord. Well, how could I say I was opposed to that? I'm not. The truth is, that's what we ought to do. But after they go out and get all these people, the whole theme is, let's just keep getting more, and more, and more, and more, and that's all they ever do. And those people that are members of the church don't know anything except get out and get on fire for Jesus. They never do become partakers of Jesus. They get so busy working for him, they don't know why they're working for him. Now, some of you have been coming to this church for a long time. You know why you come? Because he asked the Father here to set these apart, sanctify, hagiso. And he said, do it through your word to set them apart. If you don't set the people apart from the world after they've been saved, you've just got a whole bunch of baby Christians sitting out there. And it's the reason that a lot of our pastors can't stay at a church for more than 2 or 3 years and they get run off because they start looking at their track record and they say, well, we only had 10 souls saved this year. So you're declining, you're just going downhill, and we're going to get us another pastor. And they'll get another pastor, and he'll come in, and lo and behold, he'll have a new way of presenting the gospel. And it'll be the same gospel, but a new technique, a new slant on it. And people will get saved at first, and everybody say, this is wonderful, this is wonderful, this is wonderful, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Oh boy, some more got saved, hallelujah, let's get them baptized. But after he's been there a couple of years, they'll get used to his style of crucifying the Lord. And all of a sudden, the number of additions will drop, and they'll say, we need to get us another pastor. Now, these men were saved, scripturally baptized, and were personally taught for Jesus, by Jesus, more than 3 years. And yet he said, Father, sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. And they got set apart for the rest of their lives. Do you know that all those disciples that wrote all those epistles, and Paul himself, they kept getting set further and further apart from the world and developing a closer and closer relationship with Jesus Christ? That's what we need to do after we get souls saved. And the reason that people drop out of church and quit coming is because they get tired of the same old thing. They know they're saved. They know they're going to heaven. They have security of the believer. They understand scriptural baptism. They understand the Lord's Supper is supposed to be according to the ordinance of the church. They understand all that. But it's over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. They get tired of it. They never do develop a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, as your pastor, I'm going to just level with you and put it to you straight. I have developed a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And I've done it through the word that I've preached to you, because I had to research it and look all this stuff up. And it's wonderful. It's marvelous. And it keeps me in God's work. And that's what is needed. Now, when Ernie and Joel go over there in those African villages, after people get saved, they teach them. And they teach the pastors of those churches to teach them. You know what? After you begin to understand what God's got waiting for you in heaven, that by these exceeding great and precious promises you might be partakers of the divine nature. He says, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. Then he goes on to say how you do that. Giving all diligence to add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness love, agape. He said, if these things be in you and abound, they make you that shall not to be barren. You won't be barren in fruit. I like Jesus. I like him a lot. I mean, he's really super duper. He forgives me. Church members don't always forgive each other, but Jesus always forgives me, and he's always with me. I've learned about him. I like him a lot, and I just don't know what I'd do without him. So, you see, if God's Son ever gets a hold of you, and if God's Son ever gets a hold of them, you won't have to worry about them being faithful, because they aren't being faithful because you're a, quote, good preacher, and they aren't faithful because they like the program you have, and they aren't faithful because they like the people in the church. They're faithful simply because they like Jesus. Well, I feed the Word of God, and so I encourage people to fall in love with Jesus. He said, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. Well, I'll tell you what. There are a lot of people in this church that are here because of other people. Why do you think that the Randalls are here? Because of other church members. And do you think these other church members are super dynamic, door-knocking, soul-winning, evangelistic people? No. They just happen to love Jesus. And in their everyday life and contact, they came in contact with the Randalls, several of them. The Randalls noticed that these people were different. They liked them. They liked them a lot. And so they started coming to church here after their daughter came. And the way that people have been added to this church is by other members of this church living for the Lord, sharing Jesus with them as the opportunity permits. And here they are. Now, the reason people continue faithful in this church is because they like the Word of God. And so he had this first New Testament church, and he was asking his father to continue to set them apart from the world for the rest of their lives, their ministry. And then he says, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. Don't you reckon that they like Jesus? Don't you think they really fell in love with him? Don't you think they thought there was just nobody like Jesus? And so when they went into the world, didn't they tell people a lot about how much they loved him and what he meant to them? Well, the church is his local body. He sent them into the world. He sends us into the world. He sends every local church into the world, and he does it through his member. He is the vine. We are the branches that proceed out of his local body. And if people see that we have a love for Christ, that we don't bellyache, grumble, complain, snarly, temperamental, unhappy, miserable, they're going to want to know why. Because most of the world is that way. And so we take our picture of Jesus in our lives and in our conversation into the world. And people see we have something that they don't have. And so out of curiosity, in your conversation with them, they will actually learn some things about you. And they'll want to find out what it is about Jesus that you admire so much. If you talk about him to them and how much he's done for you, you don't have to win them to the Lord the first time you meet him. You don't have to take them down a Roman road. Just let them see that, that you care for Jesus and that you love his body, which is the church, that you enjoy worshiping him in spirit and in truth. Just let them see that in you and tell them about it. It's not all that hard. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself. He said, I'm going to set myself apart from the world. He said, I'm about to leave. Now, he's not talking about, he's talking about two things. He's talking about the fact that he's going to eventually be crucified, forever set apart, as the man, Christ Jesus, who is God. And he's going to be set apart in a glorified body forever and ever and ever and ever, and in him will always dwell the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He sanctifies himself, and he sets himself apart from them and goes up to heaven, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Now, he's talking about the fact that he's going to set himself apart from the world. Then he said that they might be sanctified through the truth. Okay. How's he going to do that? He said, I will not leave you comfortless. He told them that. He told them he was going to send the Paracletos, one called alongside to them. Do you know most of the sanctification or setting apart and teaching of the disciples about the things of God occurred after Jesus ascended into heaven? Think about it. In Mark, when they were going down in chapter 10, he told them, he said, I'm going to Jerusalem. I'm going to be arrested. I'm going to be beaten. I'm going to be bruised. He said, I'm going to die. He said, I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to raise from the dead. You know what it did? He just went in one out the other. And the first thing happened, John and James came and said, Master, where can we sit at your right hand, your left? They didn't know a thing. They didn't understand anything he was talking about. They were following him because they believed he was the Messiah. They believed he was the Son of God. They believed that he was going to establish a physical kingdom right then. And they were going to get to be rulers in it. And they were saved, and they believed he was the Messiah. But they had no concept of him going into heaven and teaching them. He told Peter, he said, Peter, he said, when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. Peter's real conversion occurred primarily after he went to the tomb and he saw that Jesus wasn't there, and his conversion began. My conversion began when I was saved 60 years ago. And it continued, and it was pretty slow because it was 11 years before I was baptized, and it was 38 years before I finally started getting, if you will, set apart, and finally I discovered Jesus. Oh, he lived in me, and I was saved from 60 years ago, but I didn't discover Jesus, and I didn't get to know him personally in a warm, close, personal, friendly way until I went through a lot of knocks and bumps and grinds from age 38 to the present. That's why church is down here. You show me someone in this church that the Lord has bailed out time after time after time, and I'll show you someone that's a good witness in the community. He set himself apart that they might be sanctified through the truth. And they were. Okay? You got the same word they wrote. It was these sanctified men that wrote the book. You got it. So how are you going to get set apart? What do I teach and preach? It's not through me. I'm just a little short, fat nobody. But it's through this word. And when you see what Jesus' plan was for them, that's his plan for you. That's his plan for this church. That's always been his plan for every local New Testament church. He wants the membership to be set apart from the ways of the world. He wants them to fall in love with him. It's like a courtship. You get saved, and then you fall in love. When you got saved, you were eligible to fall in love with Jesus. It's like when I got married. I was head over heels in love. Just couldn't stand to be away from Imogene. Just waited anxiously. Hocked my spare tire so I could get enough money to go down to Omega to see her. I was fascinated with her, madly in love with her. But you know what? After I got her, I began to fall in love with her. And I really didn't start to really honestly fall in love with her deeply until we got old. And when she started having health problems, then I began to fall in love all over again, because I saw somebody that's courageous and loving, stands up against obstacles, puts up with me, doesn't threaten me, doesn't get mad at me. And, you know, I found the same thing's true about Jesus, only more so. I didn't really start falling in love with Jesus till I was 38 years old. I guess that's about the same time I started falling in love with Imogene. She carried all those children. They were mine. She raised those children. She put up with me and my temperament, my sudden fits of rage, where I took frustration out on her rather than on my own self. And she did that. Well, I fell in love with her all over again, much deeper love. It's the same way with the Lord. I loved him when he saved me, but I didn't really fall deeply in love with him until I began to look in his word. As I've told you many times, the greatest thing God ever did for me after I got saved was to call me to preach, because he forced me to study the word, because I had to present it to other people. But if you think that you get something out of this, let me tell you something. I get a lot more out of it than you do, because I research all these words and make sure that I'm telling you the truth, because I'm going to have to answer to him one day if I don't. So as thou hast sent me into the world, even so I also send them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they might be sanctified through the truth. I've had people, when I went to Israel, and they'd say, oh, if I could have just been there with Jesus, if I could have just walked around with him, it would have been so wonderful, and my faith would be so much greater. Yeah, you bet. And you walked around and not had any showers, not had any deodorant soap, only got to take a bath maybe once a week, and usually in cold water. They didn't have hot water. And you'd be around your companions and you'd stink. But after a while, God put a little mechanism up in here which takes care of that. And pretty soon, when you smell as bad as the rest of them, you don't even notice that. I didn't notice that till I went to Africa, until I went to Lithuania and Romania. And man, when I first got over there, it was horrible. But after I was there a while, I didn't even notice. I said, well, they must have taken a bath. No, I was stinking as bad as they were. And that's what happens. And that's what you get. That's what you get used to. He says, I sanctify myself that they might be sanctified through the truth. I listen to these people and they say, oh, if I could have just walked with Jesus. Let me tell you something. You can walk with Jesus and have an air-conditioned church building. You can walk with Jesus and have a nice hot shower. Listen, I got some learning in Lithuania. I like to froze to death. And I took cold showers, and I only got a shower about once every 4 days. And I smelled worse than the rest of them. So let me tell you something. I appreciate what God's done for me here. But you know, when God mollycoddles his children and does wonderful things for them, that's when they really start to get ungrateful. Now, all these disciples, he walked with them. People say, oh, I could just love Jesus, and yet they won't come to church. We got people on this church roll that still don't come on Christmas and Easter. I used to get mad and chew them out and jump up and down and spit snowballs. But then I discovered they didn't come back the next Easter or Christmas. And I said, well, 2 days a year is better than none. But back to the subject. So they could do a whole lot better. Now, if you can't do it now, you sure couldn't go through those hardships. No toilet paper. Can you imagine no toilet paper? You say, how'd they take care of that? And some people say, Brother McMurray, you shouldn't talk about unpleasant things like that. Don't you ever tell me that. Don't you ever tell me that. And if you have an idea that you think you're right, don't you just keep it to yourself. Because some people are so Priscilla Primrose that they won't ever face the reality of life. They won't ever realize what those poor people went through. And they can't take any pain. They can't take any agony. They can't take any hardship. And all they do is whimper and cry. So don't tell me that kind of stuff. I want you to realize what these men went through and what this first New Testament church went through, I want you to realize the difficulty of it and how good God has made it for us. Well, I said all that to say this. The reason I don't like this business about, oh, I'd have been much more faithful if I'd have had to do that. No, you wouldn't have. You probably wouldn't have followed him at all, because you can't put up with anything anyway. Nor can I. I'm not mocking you. Look at me. I'm a fat, overweight, Laodicean preacher, enjoying all the benefits here of a nice church building with heat and warmth and nice group of people that sometimes love me. I love them. And so why should I complain? Now, let me tell you what God's done for you. Do you think God loved them more as his church than he loves you? Do you think that God is a place favorites? He said, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. He included us. You got the same marching orders, the same commission they had. And they went out into the world, and they paid whatever price was necessary, and they endured. Now listen, you got it, and I've got it a lot better than they had. We live in a nice community. We live among people that may not agree with our form of belief, but they're not down here beating us. They're not down here carrying us off and arresting us. And we have got it made. And he prayed for us. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through thy word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee. And they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. So we have the same opportunity that they had. And as for this business of, if I could just be over there with Jesus. Here's one of the great tragedies of this church age. One of the greatest tragedies of this church age. The universal invisible church heresy. Because it took Jesus out of the local church. You can walk with him. You can experience him. By understanding spiritually just who it is that indwells each local New Testament church. Yes, all believers have Christ in them. Yes, Christ is in all believers, and all believers are in Christ. But Jesus Christ is here this morning. I'm standing here talking to you. He's right here. This is one of his churches, and he's in it. And you can walk with Christ, and you can be in his presence. You say, well, if I could see him, I'd follow him. That's exactly the point I'm trying to make. You must walk by faith, not by sight. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Jesus had Paul write, in whom ye, plural, also, local church, in whom ye also are builded together for habitation of God through the Spirit. And that Spirit is Christ, and he's among us. He's here this morning. He's here. He's listening to everything I'm saying. He's making an evaluation of it. He'll make me feel good about parts of it, bad about other parts of it. He'll make you feel bad if you're thinking about something you shouldn't be thinking now or making critical judgments. He loves you. He watches over you, protects you, cares for you. You can't beat that. So that's why I keep in the ministry. I just, no matter what happens, if attendance is down or something doesn't go just right, I say, what am I complaining about? He's right here. He's in me. I've been saved. I'm in him. And he's right here in this church. And I've learned something else about the Lord. He loves you a lot more than I could ever possibly love you. I'm still in the flesh. I've got sin in my flesh. And sometimes you irritate me. And sometimes I irritate you. Most of the time, I don't say anything to you about it, because sometimes, and one of my worst habits is kidding. It's a bad habit, because I kid, and sometimes people think I'm serious, and sometimes you can't tell whether I'm serious or not. And I apologize for that. I'd try to do better on it, and maybe in the future I will. But the thing about it is this. He never, ever does anything but love you. And if he punishes you, he punishes you in love. And when he gets irritated with you, he forgives you. And it goes on. He loves you very much. And he loves me very much. And he's here. Suppose I had never gone to see Imogene. Suppose I had just gone down once a month, casually. You think she might have gotten the idea that I didn't love her? Don't you think it pleases the Lord for you to be in his presence? You say, well, Brother McElmurray, you're just speaking figuratively. I'm speaking literally. I'm speaking directly. When you come into this assembly and you're here, he's here. And it's a measure of how much you love him. And if you think that that doesn't give him satisfaction, you're quite wrong. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. He knows his Father receives glory by your coming here to worship his Father through him. Gives him tremendous pleasure. So you can walk with Jesus. As a matter of fact, it's a lot easier for you to walk with Jesus than it was for them. And it's a quarter till. So, Lord, in mercy, we didn't cover very much this morning. But let me mark this thing right down here. Yeah, I'll mark it right here. And we'll just pick up, Lord willing, next Sunday. So, Ernie, you've got about 15 minutes.